Now, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, the first to the 11th verses, and we will read responsibly. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, the first to the 11th verses. Here is that great message of Paul, what the essential preaching of the gospel is. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God.
For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
And of course, this is the key to all preaching. It isn't that Paul's mind was not one of the most brilliant concerning the flesh of any man. He speaks of that in another place. But here he's placing before us that the essential doctrine of the Christian faith must begin with the cross of Christ. He would know nothing else among them, because without the cross, there is no forgiveness of sins. And unless we begin in the proper place, we cannot possibly understand anything else. So we must begin with the cross. The resurrection is the proof of the cross and its efficacy, that it has the power to forgive sin. This has nothing to do with your intellectual power to understand. This has to do with God's giving his gift of eternal life through the death of Christ for you. When Christ died, if you believe, you die. And the penalty was paid for sin. He that is dead, you see, he that is dead to sin, how can he live any longer therein? We are dead. If ye be dead with Christ, then are ye risen with him. Tremendous truth, you see. The heart that grasps it receives the freedom of the Spirit of God and the joy of life. The heart that fails it, life is a mystery, a labyrinth, going nowhere with a blank wall at the end. How wonderful when God gives us that faith to believe. How precious. I determined not to know anything among you, because this is the base. To know that Christ was good and fine and noble and without sin and all of these things, or you might try to use them as an example to live thereby, Paul says you don't know anything. Because you must know nothing first except Christ and him crucified. For this will be the means of bringing you into the presence of God as a risen one, risen with Christ, able to have fellowship with God. Till you know the cross, you know no fellowship. No one knows God without the cross of Christ. Make no mistake. No one knows God without the cross of Christ. And no one can argue with me on this base. God says there's only one way to know him, and that is through the cross, that you may come cleansed every whit into his presence. So this is the doctrine. I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling.
And my speech and my preaching was not with impressive words and wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
In Thessalonians, he said, I came to you not in word only, but in spirit and in power. You will know it's the power of God when your soul is redeemed in the blood of Christ. Otherwise, you do not understand the gospel of the Savior. The gospel is the good news of salvation. And so he came not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but notice, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
How great is the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, but that comes from God.
Remember, he speaks wisdom to them that are perfect. Now, I don't want to hesitate too long on these portions, but they're so wonderful. The only perfection you have is in Jesus Christ. Remember that. The only perfection you have is in Jesus Christ. Christ in you, that's your perfection. You've been made perfect in him, not in you. You haven't got a thing to boast about. But there's wisdom. He says, I speak wisdom to them who can understand me. Because they have found Christ, they will not argue. If you argue with the Word of God, you do not know Christ. Christ is the divine Logos, the divine Word. If you argue with the Scriptures, you argue with Christ. You don't argue with a pastor, you say. You argue with Christ. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Which none of the princes of this world knew, or had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the beginnings of God.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man. But the Spirit of God. How can you know? That's the end of the reading. How can you know anything about God unless you possess his Spirit? You know, this is pure logic. You realize that, don't you? Have any of you taken logic? That's what I took. That was my main subject in college. Logic. This is pure logic. Pure logic. You can't, nobody knows anything about you except you. Does anybody know anything about anybody else here? Of course not. Only you know you, aren't you glad? You don't want anybody else to know you. Let me tell you. As I said last week, nobody wants their life put up on a screen, every thought and word and deed that goes on in one day's time. Everybody in this congregation would run away from each other. Husbands and wives, we've got a bad divorce rate now. It'd be 10 times worse if we knew every thought that went on in the human heart. Nobody knows you but your Spirit. Nobody can know God but his Spirit. So how can you know God? He gives you his Spirit. So what? So you can know him. See? Isn't that wonderful? I don't want to give my Spirit to anybody. I don't want to give it to my own children. Because what? I don't want them to know everything about me. You don't want to give your Spirit to your husband or wife. You don't want them to know everything about you in your thought, life, in every facet of your life. Impossible! But God can give you his Spirit because everything his Spirit will speak to your hearts about him is beautiful and glorious and pure and good and holy. So you can take it. For in him was no sin, and there was no guile in his mouth. This is not man, this is God. May he add his blessing to this precious portion of his holy word.